Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. There's a great deal in the readings these days about our intention, our motivation, whether we're doing things for the right reasons or not. When a cluster of these kinds of readings come together over several days, I really would encourage you, it's as though God says, let me say it one more time. Maybe in a slightly different way, you'll be able to hear. There is a way that the living word right now is challenging us to pay attention. Well, I gave something to the poor last week. That's not what God's talking about. Yes, he's talking about giving to the poor, but he's not talking about some simple external action. Is your heart identifying with God's heart? Do you see the poor and the suffering? Do you really see them? Do you see what God sees? He wants to reveal that to you. He wants to open up that world to you, that you might, in a certain way, be compelled to serve, to give if you have any extra, even if you don't have extra, can you give out of your need? Can you give out of your own need? Can you share? I always remember, and those of you who have listened to this program for a long time have certainly heard me tell this story, but it comes back to me again and again and again when I need to make decisions and choices. The sisters, Mother Teresa's sisters in Calcutta, there came a day where they simply didn't have any food. And Mother said, do not worry, and she went into the chapel to pray, to ask God to provide for them. And within an hour, I think, this huge truck pulled up in front of their mother house in India. And the schools were closed for that day, and nobody could figure out what the reason was that the schools were closed for that day, so that all the food that was being brought in for the children was brought to Mother Teresa's. And it would have been so easy, wouldn't it? Because Mother was in need too. It would have been so easy for her to say, oh, thank you, God. Thank you for lavishing this on us. Thank you for giving me this and taking it. And taken it in and given it to her sisters, and they would have had some left over, and that would have alleviated their stress about whether they were going to have food to eat. It makes logical sense. But what did Mother Teresa do? Mother Teresa took some of the food that she had received, which meant her sisters received food, but smaller portions. And she took that food and she took it to a Muslim family that was near that she knew was very poor. She took it to them. And she found out later that that family shared something of what they had received with another family. Everyone got a little. Brothers and sisters, do we operate out of that? Do we operate out of whatever I have received, even when I'm in need? Is there a way that I could share it? Maybe there isn't. Maybe it's a sick child and you need everything you can get. But is there a way, many times, that I can share what I have rather than hoarding, rather than stockpiling? Think about it. Paul to the Romans today, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. You, O man, are without excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. See, we have no right to judge. We're going now from the practical that I was just talking about to the internal, to what goes on in your mind and your heart, that which necessarily can't be seen unless you speak of it. But what goes on in your heart? Paul says, you, O man, are without excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. You judge whether somebody is good or bad. You judge whether they're successful or not. You put down people because you think they're smaller or weaker or less gifted than you are. Don't do it. For by the standard by which you judge another, you condemn yourself. Since you, the judge, do the very same things. Brothers and sisters, that is so true. And I remember at one time in my own spiritual life where I knew that I was guilty of, I was just getting into a habit of making quick snap judgments where I didn't need to. Sometimes we're in situations or our work or our care of our children, we've got to make quick judgments. But most of us make all kinds of quick judgments about strangers or about acquaintances and sometimes about people closest to us. And we can't see into the soul. And we make judgments about them that go beyond that particular action or that particular conversation. Don't judge. Do not judge. You can decide, of course, whether what they're saying is right or wrong, but you don't go beyond that to say, oh, that person is really stupid. How could they say this? This person is such and such and so and so. You can judge the action, but you can't judge the state of the soul of the person. You can't. And we do it all the time. And Paul is saying here, by the standard by which you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, do the very same things. But of course, if I do it, it's not wrong. Or if I do it, it was just a mistake. But we judge another person doing the very same thing that we've done, and we put the heaviest judgment upon them. We can always excuse ourselves. We can always find excuses for ourselves, but we don't for others. We need to have mercy for others as we hope God will have mercy on us, or as we try to give ourselves mercy. You know, you poor thing, you didn't sleep last night. God understands. Maybe it's a situation where God, of course, understands, but it may just be you're trying to excuse yourself. We know that the judgment of God on those who do such things is true. Do you suppose then that you who judge those who engage in such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Sometimes, you know, we judge somebody's action and it is a wrong action and we judge that action and we feel pretty smug about ourselves. And yet, we go and do the very same thing. And do we judge ourselves and do we repent? No, we excuse ourselves. We're severe on others and very, very lenient on ourselves. Do you hold his priceless kindness, forbearance, and patience in low esteem, unaware that the kindness of God would lead you to repentance? By your stubbornness and your impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself for the day of wrath and revelation of the just judgment of God, who will repay everyone according to his works. Eternal life to those who seek glory and honor and immortality through, they seek glory, honor, and immortality, but it is through perseverance in good works. But wrath and fury to those who selfishly disobey the truth and obey wickedness. Yes, affliction and distress will come upon everyone who does evil, Jew first and then Greek. But there will be glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, Jew first and then Greek. There is no partiality with God. God doesn't look at your bank account. God doesn't look at your standing in the local community. God doesn't look at any of those things. He looks at your heart. And we are responsible for the judgment of God insofar as we had the power to change and to be different. How will God judge you? How will God look at you at that moment you stand before him? Will he say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You repented for your sin. You kept trying to turn away from sin. You kept turning toward me. You cared for my poor. You cared for those who are weaker than yourselves, those in need. You spent your days on earth doing good for many. Welcome. Welcome." Will he say that to you? Lord, you give back to everyone according to his works. And it's true. God will repay us according to what we do with what we have. Only in God is my soul at rest. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, I shall not be disturbed at all. If we really are rooted in Christ, if we find our life and our protection in Him, by loving Him, by serving Him, by living our lives in accordance with His will, by repenting when we fail, then we're going to know peace and security, and we're going to know happiness for all eternity. Only in God be at rest my soul, for from Him comes my hope. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be disturbed. Don't put your trust in other human beings for your eternal salvation. Don't do that at all. Put it in God. Trust Him. And then do what He asks you to do. Trust Him at all times, O my people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. Not your possessions, not your relationships, not your influence. None of those things should be your refuge, and they are the refuge for many. Don't do it. Turn away from it. Make God your refuge. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 42 to 46, the Lord said, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk." Think of that. You're dead inside because you love the things of this world, and that's where you're putting all your time, your talent, your energy, everything. Don't do it. If that's the pattern of your life, stop today and say, where am I putting my time? Where am I putting my talent? Where am I putting my energy? Is it where it belongs? Is it for the glory and the honor of God? For my salvation and the salvation of my family, am I doing what is right and good? Or am I doing things simply to be known, to be accepted? Am I looking for the approval of the world or that of God? Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, "Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us." Oh my. And he said, "Woe also to you, scholars of the law. You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them." Ho! You teachers of the law, love the poor and the weak. Love those who sin. Love those who've made mistakes and are trying to turn back. Lift them up. Show them that the law is God's goodness. It really is. The law of God is God's goodness. He wants us with Him for all eternity. And we fail and we make mistakes. So those who are in the position of teaching the law, make sure, first of all, you're living it yourself. And then reach out to those weaker than you and help them. Lift them up so that they too can follow the Lord with confidence and with peace. Brothers and sisters, we have much to do these days. Ask God what decision you need to make. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.